Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. I want to remind you of something that Rob said earlier. This morning is the first part of three-part mini-series on the gift. This morning I'm going to be talking about anticipating the gift on the Christmas Eve service that's at 5 o'clock here. We're going to talk about receiving the gift. And then finally, the day after Christmas on the 26th, on that Sunday, we're going to be talking about the gift you will not return. As I was thinking about, as I considered the subject, anticipating the gift for this morning, I looked up the definition of anticipation, and it means that it is the act of looking forward with expectation, usually pleasurable. It's an interesting synonym that I also found is for anticipation is prospecting. Think of someone that is mining for gold who spends hours of digging and panning in hopes, in anticipation, that they will strike it rich. To anticipate is to live looking forward, to live focused on a thing or event or even a time in the future that we are certain that will bring us pleasure. Christmas is the epitome of anticipation. In fact, Christmas, with the possible exception of your wedding day or the birth of a child, is without a doubt probably the most anticipated day of every single year. Don't believe me? Wait till next September when somebody comes up to you and says, "It's September, Christmas will be here before you know it." I'm beginning to think that October and November are throwaway months, and they're just there so that we will plan, prepare, invite, buy, and get ready and hope we don't goof up Christmas. Retailers exist and stay in business all year long with the anticipation that Christmas season will put them back in the black financially. Thus the term Black Friday for the day after Thanksgiving. We spend money before we have it. For gifts for friends and family, anticipating that we can make it up in January or February or sometime before next Christmas rolls around. We buy these gifts anticipating that we will be delighted, that others will be delighted, and we also anticipate that we will be delighted ourselves when we open these gifts. We anticipate decorating, getting the biggest tree, well, that's my thing, parties, turkey dinners, family and friends, and every trapping that goes along with Christmas. In fact, Christmas has become so big that one day can't contain it, so now we call it the Christmas season. However, most of us will never say, no matter how great our Christmas was, no matter how delightful every gathering, every meal, every present we opened or gave was, when Christmas is over, I have never heard anyone say, my life can now end, I am completely satisfied. Well, that's not exactly true. There is one man who said that, a man named Simeon that we just read about in Luke chapter 2. It was 8 days before the first Christmas day when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to be dedicated, as was the Jewish custom for the firstborn male child. On that particular day, this man, Simon, was also, we are told, in the temple. But he was not there by coincidence. You see, the Holy Spirit of God had led him there in order to show him something that Simeon had been anticipating much of his life. We are told that Simeon was a righteous and devout man, meaning that he was careful to do what was right and honorable. He had studied the writings of the Old Testament prophets. Therefore, he knew that God had promised to send them a Messiah, a rescuer who would deliver all of God's people from their bondage. And this rescuer would be sent to console his people by proclaiming a promise of salvation. And Simeon lived in anticipation of that day. because of that, God had promised him a promise that he would not die before he had seen this promised Messiah. Imagine. Imagine living in anticipation that you would and could receive a gift from God Himself. And to be promised that in your lifetime that you would be able to hold that gift in your hands. What's on your bucket list? What is on the list of things that you desire to do, experience, or accomplish before you finally kick the bucket? What do you live in anticipation of? What captures the desires of your heart and mind? In this life, there are hundreds of things and valuable and exciting things that we hope that someday we will accomplish or experience. A college degree, a meaningful job, to get married, have children, to see them succeed, maybe take exotic vacations, learn to skydive, climb Mount Everest, or maybe it's just to retire with enough money that you can finally enjoy it. But what if you had to reduce all of these things to only one thing? What is the one thing you long for that after you receive it or experience it, you can actually say, I do not need to live a minute longer. I have now everything I have ever wanted, and I am completely satisfied. Because that's exactly what Simeon said when he held God's gift in his arms. Listen again to those few verses in the Luke passage, starting at verse 27. And he, that's Simeon, came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, he took him into his arms and blessed God and said, Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. For Simeon, all of life was reduced to this one experience. Nothing else mattered as he held Jesus in his arms and said, I can now die in peace, for you promise, God, I have seen your salvation. I walked through the mall this week shopping, and for the most part, it was a delightful experience and a delightful place to be. There were fun things to see. There were a lot of useful gifts to buy. Christmas music was playing, and there was beautiful decorations everywhere. It was everything that most people would expect for Christmas in the mall, except one thing was missing. In all the displays, in all the stores, and in all the music that I heard, Jesus was nowhere to be found. What a far cry that is from what we read about Simeon, who lived his life in anticipation of God's gift. And 8 days after the first Christmas, he received the desire of his heart as he held the best gift of all in his arms, the one thing he longed to see, the one thing he lived in anticipation of. And when he saw Jesus, the rest of his life became of little or no value to him. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said something similar when he said, For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Once you have held the gift of God, once you have received the hope of Jesus Christ, your bucket or Christmas list will also be immediately reduced to just one thing. When I was 12, I wanted a 10-speed bike more than anything else on earth. I hinted. I put it first on my list. I showed my parents pictures in magazines of what I wanted. I did everything to remind them that this is the one thing that I wanted. I lived every day of December in anticipation of getting this bike. So when Christmas Day came around, it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up and I snuck into the living room to see if the bike was there. But it wasn't. So I went back to bed and I laid there quietly thinking that they probably had it upstairs in the room. So I listened intently thinking I would hear it come down the stairs, bump, 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 bump. But it didn't. At 8 o'clock, everybody got up and we went through the morning and opened presents. And I really did try to be excited over every one I opened. And I said thank you. But honestly, I was bitter. After all the presents were opened, my dad told me to clean up all the wrapping paper and put it in trash bags. So I walked around the living room and I was picking up the trash and sticking it in the bag. I was mumbling how I can't believe he didn't buy me a bike for Christmas. All the other kids are out riding bikes and I'm here picking up trash. A lot of parents would love to have me for a son. Well, maybe not at that moment. When I'd picked up all the trash and I was taking it out to the garage, my dad said to get into the garage and bring him back something. So when I opened the garage door, wait for it, there was a brand new 15-speed bike. I went from disappointed to delighted in 1 second. It was more than I wanted. I only asked for 10 speeds. It had 15. It was gold. It was beautiful. And it was perfect. Interestingly enough, over time, I lost interest in that perfect bike. It got old and scratched. And I started dreaming about things with four wheels instead of two. So after a very short time, I went from delighted to dissatisfied again. Now fast forward a few years to when I was 21. I was away at college in Indiana on Christmas, and since I was short of money, I couldn't get home, and I found myself working a 12-hour shift on Christmas Eve. I was alone. Things in my life had not worked out as I had planned, and frankly, I was very disappointed with my life. But on that Christmas Eve, God spoke to my heart. Oh, it wasn't an audible voice. I wasn't crazy. But I understood for the very first time who Jesus was and why he came. And that God on that night many years ago sent me a much-needed Savior. A rescuer to remove the guilt and the penalty of sin. Oh, not because I was so bad compared to everyone else, but I could never live up to how good he was. I was no good compared to him. So there in that warehouse, I bowed my head and I put my trust in Jesus Christ, God's gift of grace to me. And I remember as clearly as I'm standing here this morning, I went from disappointed to delighted in 1 second. But the best part of this is the gift never wore out. It didn't grow old. I didn't outgrow it. And I have never found anything that can take his place. And I can tell you that I agree with Simeon and the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Christmas is a time to remember this wonderful gift. And maybe for some of you, it is to discover it for the very first time. But sadly, all too often, great things seem to get neglected by the menial. Things that should be placed at the top of our list are often neglected and put off due to everyday distractions that we face. So instead of anticipating something wonderful and lasting for God this Christmas, we are bogged down with everything that we need to accomplish. Things to buy, events to plan, people to visit and enjoy, decorations to unpack, set up, then take down and repack again for next year. And because of this, it is all too easy to neglect the most important thing. On that first Christmas, there was a celebration in the night sky. And the angels made an announcement over the fields of Bethlehem, and they said, "For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Think about that. It was for you that Jesus was sent. Not just me, not just your wife or your husband or your best friend. It was for you. And in Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3, we read a very sobering reminder about this wonderful gift. Listen, "For if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation?" In other words, if the promise of a Savior spoken by the angels long ago proved to be true and unchangeable for all time, we cannot escape the consequences of sin if we neglect this great salvation. In 6 days, Christmas will be here. What do you anticipate? What will you hold in your hands at the end of this Christmas season? Will it be just another gift that in a few days, months, or years you will toss aside because it is worn out or you outgrew it? Or will you hold and cherish the wonderful gift of grace, Jesus Christ, the gift from God that will completely and forever satisfy? It is my prayer that as we anticipate the joy of Christmas this year, it will be because of one thing and only one thing. And that is that we agree with the words of Simeon. "Now, Lord, I can depart in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Will you bow with me? Father God, I pray that this morning, that as we anticipate this year, this Christmas season, as we anticipate this upcoming day that we celebrate with so many things and so many festivities, Lord, I pray that you would lay on our hearts the desire to never set you aside, to never neglect the great salvation that you gave us. And Lord, if there's someone here this morning, I pray that you would that doesn't know you, that you would draw them to yourself, that you would speak to their heart and let them realize that I did some 39 years ago, that there was a God in heaven that loved me so much that he sent his only son, that if I would believe in him, I would never perish but have eternal life. So Lord, I pray that those people here that want and desire you, that anticipate you, that you would become very real to them. We thank you for Christmas. We thank you for the gift you gave us. And we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.